This is going to be a very interactive presentation, and can you all hear me very, very well? Okay, in the back especially. Yes, okay, I got a hand, a thumb up, one thumb up, so we're good. My name is Umair Shah, and I am, along with my colleague, Dr. Nadine Levick, who is somewhere down here, we are actually co-leading this session, and our job is to actually kind of get started and then get out of the way for the folks who are going to actually give you their perspectives on this really very important topic on global disaster response. Nadine and I are both working as co-chairs of the Injury Control and Emergency Health Services Public Health Emergency Preparedness Committee of the American Public Health Association, of APHA. And so this is a new group that's just a part of ICEHS, so I guess I want to put a plug in if anybody wants to, has not figured out what section they want to be a part of. We have a great section of Injury Control and Emergency Health Services, and we certainly would invite you, especially if you're interested in public health preparedness and emergency response, to be a part of our section. So my job this morning is to kind of set the context of global disaster response and really linking across the spectrum. And what I'm going to be doing is essentially looking to Nadine to tell me to get off stage, so that's going to be her job. I'm going to have probably about 7 or 8 minutes and then turn over to each of our speakers who are going to have about 15 minutes to maybe 15 to 17 minutes depending on maybe even 18 minutes if we really squeeze through. And then we're also going to allow for if there are any burning questions right after every presentation, certainly feel free to ask them, or certainly if it's something burning, I guess in the midst of a presentation, we'll try to ask you to hold the question, but we definitely want to leave some time at the end for questions and answers, and we certainly have about 90 minutes here, and so we're excited to be able to move forward. As you can see, this, I'm going to come back to the slide at the end of my presentation, but essentially, I'm going to start by giving an overview of this topic area and then turn over to my colleague and friend, Dr. Dan Hanfling, who's going to be speaking of acute emergency response in global settings, and especially with his urban search and rescue experience in a number of countries. He's going to speak to those immediate responses. And then what we're going to do is then move to Dr. Jordan Tapero. Did I get that right? Okay, because I've always wanted to say Tapero, so Tapero. Tapero, thank you. Now I forgot which one I was going to use. Dr. Tapero is actually is with the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and is with the Global Health Group there, and is going to be speaking about acute global response, but really how do you move from the acute setting to that kind of the systems building. The experience of Haiti is going to be one that he's going to highlight mostly. But in addition, we're going to then segue to Dr. Art Cooper, who is, as you heard by phone, he is going to be speaking of health system strengthening and really talking about training and certification issues. And this is really the concept of when we think about deployment, we want to make sure we have the right skill sets and how do we get those right skill sets. And then finally, we're going to have Mr. Ronald Rolfson, who we're very excited has been able to fly in from Norway, who's going to be speaking about the tragedy in Norway, as many of us remembered just not too long ago, where sad situation, tragic situation occurred in Norway, and he's going to speak to that, especially from the pre-hospital, the pre-hospital ambulance response that he was involved in. So that's where we're going to go, and let's continue with the journey. All right, so first of all, no relationships to disclose. I am married. I guess that doesn't count as a relationship I should disclose here, but no relationships to disclose of any interest here. I just wanted to tell you where I am from. I am the deputy director down at HCPHES, which is Harris County Public Health and Environmental Services, the county health department for Harris County in Houston, Texas, which is the third most populous county in the nation with a population of 4 million. population in the daytime of 5 to 6 million, and certainly we're spread over the size of Rhode Island, quite diverse geographically, politically, and demographically. My experiences are with a lot of disaster response related to what we've done, unfortunately, in Houston with respect to we've had from Katrina and Rita and Ike and Tropical Storm Allison. And if you go down the gamut of that and then adding in H1N1, we've certainly been a very busy community, including the first BioWatch hit that occurred in 2003. And so we've really had a lot of emergency experiences, and certainly in addition to that, deployments overseas with both the Kashmir earthquake as well as the Haiti earthquake. And so let me start by just giving you an operational definition. So what are we talking about today? A disaster, in essence, is what really outweighs the needs of a situation. And so when our event or occurrence is just at a point where it gets to the point where our resources are unable to handle the system and the needs of the system, that's what we're going to be speaking of in a large-scale fashion. So this is not my two-year-old who's pooped in the diaper. That may be a disaster, but it's not the disaster that we're referring to today. And so there's certainly a number of examples that we can speak of, and everything from hurricanes and pandemics and earthquakes and acts of intent, which I also want to highlight is the conflict and war, because oftentimes we do not appreciate that conflict and war certainly have significant impact on public health, and mass casualty incidents, and certainly we take an all-hazards approach, as many of us know, in the realm of public health when it comes to disaster response. Dr. Hanfling and I serve on an Institute of Medicine Committee on Crisis Standards of Care, the use of crisis standards of care in disaster situations, and we categorized disasters into catastrophic and pervasive events, and the catastrophic being the sort of sudden onset or with little or no notice, and certainly examples I've listed here. And at the same time, we also have to appreciate the slower onset where system resources can still be used up with a gradual progression, and certainly floods and wildfires as well as pandemics can certainly attest to that. So here's some pictures of some. I'm a very visual person, so I'll show a lot of pictures here. So catastrophic, we have a number of different catastrophic events. From the top left in Japan, the Kashmir earthquake, where basically a mountain was sloughed off like using a butter knife on the top right, 9/11 in the bottom right, and certainly Hurricane Katrina that all of us remember. And then in the middle, of course, was the palace in Port-au-Prince. And so these are catastrophic. They happen all of a sudden, and they use up system resources. Vis-a-vis to the pervasive events where you have the two flooding events in the top left in Australia, the bottom right in Pakistan, and the top right looking at some of the SARS and H1N1 experiences, and certainly H1N1 right in the midst there, and then certainly wildfires that can really take up and use up, even if they're on a slower onset, that they use up system resources. So what we're going to do today is really looking at how to link the acuity to the chronicity. And so in sort of the pre-side of the disaster response is really looking at the differences at the beginning of a disaster or in advance of a disaster that really lead to differences in outcomes, which are certainly most accentuated during emergency situations. And then our question is, how do we ensure equity of success to all who are impacted by the disaster? So here's some contributing factors to preparedness-related inequities. And as you can see, there are a number of factors here that many of us here at APHA have been really struggling and challenged by over the years, is really looking at a number of different reasons why you might have some variations or differential responses that occur in certain communities. So we call this the sort of the capacity continuum, coming from a system capacity in advance to what occurs during a disaster, and then certainly post-disaster, the resilience or how the community comes out and on the tail end. It really looks at how does this continuum work together so that we can do what we can to interrupt some of the challenges that certain communities may face. And then on the back end, as I just showed, is that the choices that are made immediately following a disaster, whether they're about where we're going to put people, how we're going to put people, or what we're going to do with what's been impacted, really affect the later choices for long-term solutions and certainly vulnerability reduction, especially for certain populations. So I'm going to just show two quick examples. Case one, the Kashmir earthquake, which occurred in October of 2005, right around Hurricane Rita here in the U.S., and it was a magnitude 7.6 earthquake with 75,000 plus dead. And with this experience, there are a number of pictures of what I saw when I was there, just various disaster-related impacts, and certainly whether it was a school on the bottom left or it was a bridge that was pulled apart on the top right, you had a number of impact points that really impacted the population, not just acutely, but certainly on an ongoing basis. In the top right is the picture that I'd have you concentrate on here, and that's a picture of really the long lines that we had of patients that were seeking care. And the reason I bring this example up is that it wasn't really about the earthquake itself, but it was about the pre-existing conditions in which people were living. So the challenge that we had was that when we were responding, that if somebody came to us and said, I'm here for care, that it didn't really matter if they were impacted by the earthquake or not, but they were there now seeking care, and we had to provide the care regardless of if the initial impact or the initial insult was because of the earthquake or something that was pre-existing. The next example is Haiti, and certainly we all know here with what happened in January of 2010 with the earthquake with 200 plus thousand dead. And again, the pictures on the ground were certainly sobering, to say the least. And the earthquake response for Haiti was quite impressive, and everything from urban search and rescue to NGOs to the U.S. military, as well as other military responses across the world, the WHO, the United Nations, there were really a number of different responses that occurred in early 2010. But the overwhelming need was certainly there again. And so if you look at the bottom right or the top left here, again, just numbers and numbers and numbers of people that were seeking care. And again, many of the folks that were seeking care weren't necessarily impacted by the earthquake, but they were finding a way to seek care because they had ongoing needs because of a system over time that perhaps did not provide for them. So the goal is, how do we get to health systems strengthening? And so the segue here is that the WHO defines health system strengthening as any array of initiatives and strategies that improves one or more of the functions of the health system, and that leads to better health through improvements in access, coverage, quality, or efficiency. I'm not going to bore you with this. I think many of you have seen the slide, but essentially really looking at the capacity of a system and what are the inputs and how does that lead to both interim outputs as well as the health outcomes on the right side of the slide. And so really the building the system capacity is that in advance, as we talked about, that inequities and differential burdens exist in advance of a disaster. But because of the disaster, they are accentuated. And at the end, while disasters cannot always be prevented, their impact can be minimized. And so we've got to figure out a way to work across the system. And these are a couple of screenshots of both proposals for WHO with strengthening national health emergency and disaster management capacities across systems from January of this year, as well as from the CDC website, which I think Dr. Tapero is going to mention as well, related to how our national response is related to that. And so certainly, finally, we have to look at the acute response and the nice sweet spot, if you will, of ongoing health system strengthening and the continuum across the board. So I'm going to leave with this picture here, and this is from Haiti. And so the thought here would be that this must have been after 2010. And this is a picture that was just pulled from New England Journal of Medicine, and unfortunately this was April 2004. And so oftentimes we forget that some of these inputs are actually not the disaster itself, but really what's occurred on an ongoing basis. Here's the big question: how to build and maintain capacity for acute and chronic events. And now we are going to go to our next set of speakers. So I am going to first start with introducing Dr. Hanfling, and after Dan, after you speak, I'm going to come back up and introduce Dr. Tapero. Dr. Hanfling is a special advisor to the Inova Health System for Emergency Preparedness and Response. He's a clinical professor of emergency medicine at the George Washington University and contributing scholar at the UPMC, the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, Center for Biosecurity. He is a practicing emergency physician at Northern Virginia's Level 1 Trauma Center, medical director for flight services, and a medical team manager of Fairfax County's elite urban search and rescue teams, one of the teams that was deployed in Haiti immediately post the earthquake. He currently serves as the vice chair of the Institute of Medicine Committee on Establishing Standards of Care in Disaster Situations. He lectures and publishes on disaster-related issues, and we welcome him to this session.